Amen. Amen. What a wonderful, beautiful song. Now, as we look at our scripture this morning, from John chapter 20, 1 through 10, John's going to give us the insights of what took place on Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, before dawn. And I want to try to lead us through this. And as I share this message of verses 1 through 10, well, 1 and 2 this morning, part 2 will be next week, okay? So for us just to understand what took place before sunrise. And next week we'll talk about the dawning of faith and the foundation of our faith, and to tie that in with this morning. So hope you'll come back next week for the rest of the story and of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because this is what helps our faith, increases our faith, gives us that hope that we need each day as we're confronted with things like they were confronted with, but not on the magnitude of what they experienced that week and that Sunday morning. But we can just visualize and see within our hearts that the scriptures really speak loud and clear to exactly what did take place and the emotions that were going through the ones that experienced the death of Jesus and the resurrection. Because we go through emotions in this life when things occur, death or whatever that might be. And it's the emotions that and the feelings that we deal with. And it's our faith that helps us respond in a more positive way. Because when we see what John is telling us, along with the other three gospel writers, they all talk about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So follow along with me as I begin with verse 1. Jesus' tomb is empty. Verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they are." That is not, I don't know how that happened. Oh, there we go. We're back on tune. That must have meant to be, you know, how that one got in there. Okay. Okay, so now we're looking at Peter, okay? So Peter and the other disciples went forth, and they were going to the tomb. Oh, yes. And the two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. Peter must have been slow, right? No, John was a fast runner, I guess, and so he ran ahead, but Peter caught up. And listen to verse 5. And stooping and looking in, that's John, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. But guess who did? And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered in. Well, he ran in. He did. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his face, not lying with the linen wrapping, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first, that's John, come to the tomb, then also entered in, he saw and he believed. He believed. For yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. Can you see or feel the emotions of, well, first of all, Mary Magdalene going to the tomb and then talking to John and Peter and letting them know of the good news. But they had to go and see and experience that for themselves. And yet scriptures says they still didn't understand. Even though they were given heads up on that by Jesus. So we have before us today the open sepulcher, which is the tomb where Jesus laid. The bewildered alarm it caused. Can you imagine that? And the faith it brought out. See, John's gospel comes to a conclusion here in chapter 20. With the proclamation of Jesus' victory over death, then followed in chapter 21, if you want to read that today, by the postlude or postscript. Now, John began his resurrection story with the testimony of how he came to the personal faith in the resurrection because it said that he saw and he believed by considering the evidence found in the open tomb. You know, wouldn't that increase your faith? Jesus had been telling this all along for 3.5 years what's going to be taking place. And now it happened. And John believed. John was one of those persons that whatever Jesus told him, he believed it. He clung to Jesus. He held to Jesus and supported Jesus. And he was there for Jesus all along those 3.5 years, even at the crucifixion. He was the only disciple there. Now, the first disciple were all to be aware of the reality of Jesus' death on the cross. Now, some had witnessed it with their own eyes. There, Jesus, who had filled them with joy, he filled them with hope, and the purpose was now dead and at the hands of the angry religious leaders. They were devastated, uncertain what they was going to do. They retreated behind closed doors, if you would read on in this chapter, on the first day of the week, in the evening, they was in a locked room, and guess who appears? Jesus. And what's the first thing he says? He said, "Peace, peace be with you." And of course, again, they were amazed or shocked at his presence. And again, he said, "Peace be with you, not as the world gives you, but the peace that I give you that you can have." Now, as we look this morning at the first part of before the sunrise, verses 1 and 2, the faithful ladies who served Jesus, anointed Jesus, and talked to Jesus. This Mary Magdalene was an unusual person, a special person as well. Because many people look down on Mary Magdalene because of her status or character in life. But yet, Jesus saw deeply within her heart what was really there. And she was desiring and looking for something to change her life. And then what? She found it. She found it in Jesus Christ. And from the day that she turned her heart and life over to Jesus Christ, she was committed. I want to say like the Apostle John, he was all in. He was all in. And I don't imagine she got much sleep that night, thinking about, okay, yes, Jesus said he was going to rise on the third day. And looking ahead, she was thinking, well, that's going to be on the Lord's day. That's going to be Sunday. So I want to be there at the tomb. Well, surprisingly, the resurrection had already happened. And she was amazed. And she had to tell others. Now, the first day of the week, and that's Sunday, again, Mary Magdalene and other women. In verse 2, it says, we came to the tomb. And Mary Magdalene is mentioned in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, among the list of women in Galilee who followed Jesus devoutly, and they supported his ministry. Even Mark talks about the ministry that these ladies supported in verse 41 of Mark chapter 15. Her devotion to Jesus was based on her gratitude for his delivering her from the bondage of sin or Satan. She was looked down upon, again, as I say. But she was cleansed from inside out by Jesus, and she had never forgotten about that. Along with the other women, she had followed Jesus to Jerusalem to supply his and his disciples' needs. And Matthew talks about this. So they all share the similar seeing together, synoptic, what the four Gospels is, of sharing what took place all the way through the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, and they record it. And that's what we call inspiration. The revelation that God gives is unknown sometime until he reveals it, and when he reveals it, and it is witnessed, just like John and Matthew, Mark and Luke, then it becomes revelation because they were there and they told and wrote how it was inspired to them to write about Jesus' death, resurrection. Now, she was even so bold as to stand with him at Golgotha. And John talks about that in chapter 19, verse 25. And she had observed his death on the cross, and now the first person at the grave arriving while it was still dark. While it was still dark. Sometimes it's good to get up early and while it's still dark and still see the things of nature and experience the things that Mary was anticipating. I'm sure as she's going to the tomb, as she was thinking in her mind and all the things she experienced throughout that week, is she going to be there? Is he going to be risen like he said? So the achievement of the resurrection took place before sunrise. And that was in God's plan. Jesus got up early and he prayed late in the garden. And it was fitting that he was who shattered the darkness of the grave should rise while darkness covered the earth. Now, no human eye would behold how the dead was raised. I mean, couldn't comprehend that, could we? Or they couldn't even comprehend it. See, the earthquake and the descent of angels and the rolling of the stone were after the tomb was empty. That's how it happened. So the greatest miracles are often done in the the darkest times. You ever thought about that in your own life? Let me say that again. The greatest miracles are often done in the darkest times when no one knows and no one is watching. You ever experienced that? It happens that way. It happens that way. So this tomb had been closed with a large rock, the door, Mark 16, 3 through 4, and had been sealed by the authority of the Roman government, Pontius Pilate. It had been sealed. And the women were surprised to see an open, and apparently the tomb, it was empty. Now, 3 days, think about this. 3 days after the crucifixion of Jesus passed, like to them, I'm sure it was like an eternity. Can't wait. Why don't time go faster? They couldn't wait to see the resurrection. So I imagine, as I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, and as I read all four Gospels on giving an account of the crucifixion and the resurrection, see, I can only imagine that the birds didn't sing. You ever thought about something like that? Was something so important, event, horrific, as something like this took place, it took the song away from the birds. And I imagine that the sun didn't shine or the joy was drained out of people's lives. For 3 days, all the demons, as the scripture says, all the demons, they rejoiced. Because they thought, well, Satan, they thought he had won the victory. And the forces of darkness thought they had won the great victory. For 3 days, the Jewish leaders and the demons of hell congratulated themselves on a brilliant scheme that they carried out. You think about that. All the evil things then, and still today, we still experience the evil things that goes on within this world. So there is evil in this world. Amen? I'm not saying amen good, but I'm saying there are evil things in this world today even still happening. But on the third day, something wonderful and miraculous happened. As God the Father said to the angels, go get him. Go wake him up. It is time that scripture may be fulfilled. That my promises are always true. Go get him. And when the angels' feet hit the ground, the stone rolled away. And up from the grave he arose. Amen? Never to die again. Never to die again. Now in verse 2, I spent a little time there in verse 1 because there's a lot there on verse 1. I could probably preach the whole this whole sermon on verse 1. But I want to move on to verse 2, which reports Mary's immediate reaction of fear and dismay. Now, she ran and she told Peter and the beloved son in verse, John chapter 19, verse 26, that a terrible thing had occurred. Her own words was, we know not where he is. We don't, he wasn't there, so we don't know where he is. Shows that she had spoken with the others who had seen the empty grave. So again, the word we must therefore indicate that she had come with others to the tomb, saw the sacred corpse was gone, and their spices not were still there. exchange hurried words and alarm and bewilderment, and then had hastened away before the appearance of the angels. And Mark, Matthew, and Luke, and John both share this event. Many the Gospels share it in a different way, but still is the same meaning, same story. So Mary had seen the tomb empty and springs to a conclusion. They come, and some unknown person, perhaps a Jewish hierarchy, have taken away Jesus' body, which with devoted love and with, I guess, ignores death, she still calls the Lord. The Lord is still the Lord to her, her Savior, her Lord. And Mary thought the body had been removed by Jesus' enemies. Now, Mary's desperate character, so removed from the hope of the resurrection, provides a precious, what I would call, proof of the historical truth of the resurrection. Again, Revelation reveals through disciples and those who witness, over 500 or more. Even Josephus, the historical writer in the early biblical days, even gives true allegiance to Christ's resurrection. Now, as we come to a conclusion here in these first two verses, this empty tomb illustrated the faith in the resurrection, which fully understanding of the scriptures will confirm and prove, and it will continue to grow even to this day. That's why we recognize and celebrate Easter as we do it, as a church, as a people of God. See, the way the fact of the empty tomb and Jesus' resurrection from the dead influenced a certain group of disciples made it a reality to them, which is still today undeniable. I mean, that's our faith. That's our hope. That's our eternity security. So you and I, to recognize the way that we live our lives after we believed in Jesus, His death for our sins, His resurrection from the dead, clear evidence, you know, to others that we have accepted the reality of faith of these people, that we have that also. Now, not walking away like Peter did, still in the darkness despite of a new dawn, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. You know the song that we sing, He has risen. You know, and He lives to intercede for you and me today. You know He's real because He's in our hearts. And we share that, and we witness the response of people around the world who still celebrate His resurrection. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this day. We thank You that the resurrection was a true event. And that's why we're here today, to celebrate it with one another, to recognize that You rose from the grave. The Heavenly Father, in His fulfillment of the scriptures and the promises. Even Paul said, according to the third day, Jesus arose. According to the scriptures, he says, He is risen. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to renew their relationship with You, or even for the first time, make a decision for you, to accept you as their personal Savior and follow in baptism. What a wonderful day that would be on the first day of the week, Sunday, on Christ's resurrection day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that as we are here today, and all the beauty around us that we experience, resurrection outshines it all. And one of these days, we will fully understand it when we see Jesus' nail-scarred hands. We will say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. We're going to be standing and singing Amazing Grace this morning as our closing song. I'll be here at the front to welcome you, talk to you, pray with you, whatever God is leading you at this time. You come as we sing.